Are you ready? Ladies and gentlemen, it's time. No, I said, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's get it on. Oh my God, did you just see that? And your winner by unanimous decision. Welcome everybody to the first ever edition of the Closing Rounds with Camacho. I am your host, Shane Camacho, but you guys out there can just call me Camacho. Now, how many of you avid MMA enthusiasts out there love the sport but really don't know where it came from, don't quite understand the rules, or you really just don't want to ask too many questions about it? Well, today, I'm going to start with a clean slate. I'm going to tell you guys everything you need to know to truly, truly appreciate this great sport for what it is. Now, MMA can probably trace back as far as Alexander the Great with the style of pancration, which is what he used to use for hand-to-hand combat when he went into war.
Allender & Allender, Attorneys at Law. If you have issues with probate, elder law, estate planning, guardianships, or real estate, or anything having to do with your family, Family Matters at Allender & Allender. You can reach our offices at 877-214-4024 and on the internet www.allenderlaw.com. That's allenderlaw.com. That's Allender and Allender.
But the true beginning of mixed martial arts probably started in the early 1900s with Vale Tudo in Brazil and was brought to the United States by the Gracie family in 1993, which is right about when the Ultimate Fighting Championship, what you guys know as the UFC, was founded. Now, modern mixed martial arts can probably be traced back to Europe and Japan in the early 1900s, but really the Gracie family's Vale Tudo martial arts tournaments in Brazil started in the early 1920s is really where early mixed martial arts really caught on and started getting popular. Now, MMA competitions were introduced in the United States with the first UFC back in 1993, and this sport really, it got a lot of bad publicity when it first started out because there really weren't any rules, there were no weight classes, it was kind of like male cockfighting, if you will. And that really is what got it banned from many states and many countries around the world. Now, once this really got going, a lot of other companies started popping up, like Pride Fighting Championships started, you know, really getting going in 1997. And this company was mainly based out of Japan. Now, all you hardcore MMA enthusiasts out there probably know all of this, but the average person probably got interested in the sport back in 2005 at the Ultimate Fighter Season 1 finale with Stephen Bonner versus Forrest Griffin, what you guys know as one of the greatest fights in MMA history. Nothing but a huge slugfest. Two guys going out there and really just leaving it all in the octagon. And as a surprise, both guys ended up winning contracts at the end of the fight because the fight was so good. And in 2009, this fight was actually voted the most important fight in UFC history. Now, professional MMA consists of a couple different styles of martial arts, such as jiu-jitsu, wrestling, and striking. Now, jiu-jitsu, probably most commonly referred to as Brazilian jiu-jitsu, is a type of martial arts that mainly focuses on ground fighting, grappling, and ground striking. And the most popular form of Brazilian jiu-jitsu is probably Gracie jiu-jitsu, which, like I said earlier, was brought to the United States back in 1993. The other popular style of ground combat used in mixed martial arts would be Greco-Roman wrestling, probably more commonly just referred to as wrestling. It's mainly used for takedowns, joint locks, grappling holds. It doesn't really focus a lot on submissions, mainly just trying to get yourself into a dominant position. Lastly, you've got your stand-up striking game, which usually consists of some type of Muay Thai, kickboxing, regular boxing. Generally, you want to have a good, solid stand-up game because, let's face it, if you can't stay on your feet or you can't defend yourself on your feet, you're not going to have a chance to actually get it down to the ground. And if that's your strong suit, to be down on the ground, you're kind of going to be screwed from the get-go. That ought to give you enough of an understanding of how MMA works and where it came from to give you a better appreciation for the sport. The next thing I want to talk about is the rules of MMA. Now, like I said at the beginning of the show, back in the day when it first started out, there weren't any rules per se. You know, you could knee to the groin, you could strike to the back of the head, you could knee a downed opponent in the head. There were no weight classes, which kind of led to some interesting fights. But really, these rules that were put in place, you know, back when it first started gaining popularity, you know, I really think made the sport better and helped create what it is today. Like I said, there are weight classes now. Some of the companies have lighter weight classes than others. Mainly in the UFC, it starts at 155 pounds, and the maximum weight limit is 265 pounds, which some fighters like Brock Lesnar actually have to struggle just to make that maximum allowable weight. The next thing that was introduced into mixed martial arts, which really helped make the sport a lot better, was open-fingered gloves. Back in the day, fighters didn't have to wear gloves. They were optional. It led to unnecessary injuries, fights ending because of a cut. Really, I mean, they're only 4-ounce gloves, and it leaves a lot of room to get through somebody's blocking, but the gloves, it's really for everybody's safety. It pads the hands, it helps prevent unnecessary injuries, unnecessary cuts, and let's face it, I don't want to see a fight get stopped because of a cut, and I'm pretty sure you guys don't want to see a fight get stopped because of a cut, because, you know what, some of the greatest fights out there have been stopped because of, you know, a cut in a bad place, and somebody's bleeding out on the mat. Unless you happen to be Jeremy Horn, who on one of the seasons of The Ultimate Fighter actually held his hand over his head to close the wound so he could continue his fight. Another rule that was introduced in modern mixed martial arts is time limits. Back in the day when it first got started out, there weren't really time limits. You just kind of went for 60 minutes, and if there wasn't a winner at the end of 60 minutes, then it was declared a draw. Now you've got 5-minute rounds. You've got 3 5-minute rounds for non-title fights and 5 5-minute rounds for championship fights. And the championship fights, once you get into those later rounds, the 4th round, the 5th round, that's when you really start seeing the willpower and the determination of a fighter, because unless you're in a championship fight, you're never going to see those rounds. Another rule that was also added was the stand-up rule. Now, this rule basically means that if you're on the ground grappling with an opponent and you haven't really improved your position, you're not really doing anything to improve your position, you're just kind of laying on top of them, after a certain amount of time, the referee will stand you up and make you compete on your feet. This is done basically to level out the playing field, get the fighters back on their feet, and see what happens from there. Finally, we come to the portion of the rules such as illegal moves. Now, each company's illegal moves are different. You've got strike force where you can't elbow a downed opponent. In the UFC, you can't knee a downed opponent to the head. You can't strike to the back of the head. You can't use small joint manipulation. That rule is pretty much universal across all the companies. Another illegal move that was brought to people's attention within the last year was the 12-6 elbow strike to an opponent. This was brought to light during the John Bones Jones fight and Matt Hamill. This particular move was deemed illegal because somebody from one of the athletic commissions was over in Japan watching ice breaking competitions, and that is the exact strike that a lot of those competitors use to break many, 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 many sheets of ice. And the commissioner was like, look, you know, if this person can break through so many blocks of ice using this strike, what could that possibly do to a person if you hit them with that? And, you know, I agree, because if you saw the Matt Hamill and John Jones fight, you saw the outcome of that. And nobody wants to see somebody get hurt to that extent. Moving right along, the next thing I want to talk to you guys about is the methods of winning. There are a couple of different ways you could win a fight, but the three primary ways are through submission, technical knockout or knockout, however you want to call it, and then there's the referee stoppage. Now, a submission occurs when you lock in, let's say, a triangle choke, a rear naked choke, an anaconda choke, any form of submission hold where the person is forced to give up or you actually, you know, choke them out. The next one is the knockout. There can be a technical knockout where the opponent is not defending themselves intelligently, or there is the straight-up knockout, you know, that happens on the not-so-rare occasion. Finally, you've got the referee stoppage, which is what happens when an opponent, like I said before, is generally not defending themselves intelligently. You're just kind of laying there, absorbing a lot of punishment. You're not really doing anything to improve your position. This happens a lot, mainly down on the ground, when an opponent gets into a dominant position and just starts wailing on somebody and that person can't get out of it. I agree with referee stoppages because sometimes an opponent is absorbing a lot of unnecessary punishment and you don't want to see somebody get injured. You don't want to see careers get shortened, you know. And there are the occasional controversial referee stoppages where it's kind of like, hey, you know, the fight's not really over. The ref stopped the fight. The opponent could keep going, but hey, you know, the referee is a referee for a reason. That about wraps things up today. I hope I left you with a better understanding of what the sport of MMA really is and where it came from. I hope I gave you a better appreciation for what the sport is. Tune in next time when I talk about all the different companies that there are out there that you probably don't know about. Until next time, I'm your host, Camacho. I'll see you guys later.